This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Brianne Waller, who's from Friends Feeding Friends. Hello, Brianne. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm so delighted to see you, because we talked a few months ago, maybe almost a year ago, actually, about your program and what it does. But there have been some great new developments, and it's always worth just checking in and coming back, and we did particularly want to talk to you, so thank you for taking the moment.
Yeah, I'm always like so grateful to be able to share our program in any way, so the more people we can reach, the better.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Tell us, what is the core of your program? It's for students.
Yes, so we make sure that no kids have to go hungry on the weekends, so we send home food bags on Thursdays with kids, and then we send enough food in the bag to cover a full weekend, and probably a little extra because our community is really giving. And then we also provide food pantries at the school, so if kids forgot breakfast, if they're just really hungry, they have a big test that day, every school counselor has a mini, like a food pantry, then the kids can go in, they can get fresh fruit, fresh oranges, apples, grapes, string cheese, granola bars. We're trying to keep it as healthy as possible, but also like easy to grab and go.
And so do you notice that those get taken up a lot? I was at US not very long ago, and there were definitely a healthy string of students who are digging into the food pantry there. Is that the same across
the school? What school started 2 days ago, and it was so funny. So I sent out a message, and I was like, you know, just let me know when you guys are ready for snacks. And they had kids coming in on the first day asking, and the counselors are like, well, the snacks aren't quite here yet. But so I was able to get them snacks yesterday, and I was waiting on some food to come in, and so it was just really heartwarming to hear that, like, now, like, the kids know it's there, and they're using it and utilizing it. And so our pantry costs are almost exceeding, you know, the costs of what we send home for our food bags, because we work with the Wyoming Food Bank. A lot of the food that we get for our food bags comes from them, so that really helps our budget. But the pantry food is all purchased through us. And so, yeah, it's getting to be really expensive because the price of food keeps going up.
So let's talk about food costs in a moment. But first of all, for anybody who's wondering, who is eligible?
Anybody is eligible. We don't have any criteria. Like, we realize that, you know, there's no income limits. If you need it, that's what it's there for. And we try to keep it very quiet and under the table, so, you know, nobody...
Discreet.
Yeah, that's a great word. Thank you. Just for privacy purposes. And I really try to go to the kids and explain to them, you know, like, do you have a summer job? And most of them are like, yeah, you know. And then I kind of discuss, like, have you been to the grocery stores lately? Have you seen how much just, like, a gallon of milk and a box of cereal is? Now, like, is this a way you could help, you know, your family by choosing to bring home a bag? So I really tried to make it a positive experience of like, hey, you know, everybody around the world is being affected right now by the price of food. And there's nobody that should have to worry about paying their heat bill versus having some food in their refrigerator.
So could somebody drop in for a little while and maybe just for a few weeks, you know, maybe till dad's job kicks in or something gets paid off, maybe, you know, just to kind of contribute a little bit? Can you drop in and out of this?
Absolutely. Like, you can request a bag anytime from this. They can go in and ask one for the school counselor. And so that's what makes our bags like vary week by week. Our numbers change. But then we also have bags available at Cotant Dentistry where it's private. You go in, no one sees you. You can grab a bag, and that's open anytime that the dentist office is open. So if you are like, oh man, you're at the end of the month, holy cow, you had to pay for tires, you know, like you, that's always there. It's always there, bag form at Cotant's and now at the mini pantries located throughout town.
So, okay. So let's talk. I do want to come back to food costs, but Let's talk about the mini pantries, because that was something that you were just thinking of embarking on the last time we spoke. What is going on with them and how are they going?
So they are going really good. It was kind of slow moving at first. We got the kids from the Create High School club. They did the painting of them, and we realized the time of year that the whole project was done, it was really cold and stuff, so we're having to do some updating to the painting and things like that. But the mini pantries, now that they're being found, especially the one at the animal shelter, is getting used.
So tell me, how many are there?
There are 5 in Buffalo and 1 in KC. Okay. The
and
one in
and K- maybe you provide me with a list of locations and
yes.
I'll put that next to
yeah,
this.
Absolutely. That would and be anybody good. Can go. They're open 24/7. You just go in and grab what you need. And, you know, people are like, well, do people take advantage and just clear them out? And I was like, I've had it one time come back when everything was gone. And, but to me, if everything's gone, that means they probably really need it. And that's not my worry. My worry is like, are
people getting
food?
So it's almost like a reverse drop box.
Yeah.
You just go, you see what there is, you take what you need, and it's an honor system.
Yeah, an honor system. And then I always let people know if you want to give back, you know, if you want to bring food to put into the mini pantries, they're more than welcome to bring food to our storage facility. And then that food will be allotted into the pantries around town.
Okay, because of course there are some important things about donating food, which is it needs to be in sell-by date. It needs to
yes.
be the right kind of food. You can't just stick
anything,
you know,
anything in there.
So it needs to come through you so that, you know, people don't get sick.
Yeah. So we can check it. We can make sure that it's good. We make sure that it's something that, you know, that we want to have in the box because, you know, Wyoming's either hot or cold. And this year we've been kind of lucky. It's been, you know, kind of nice. Yeah. It's been a nice summer. So, and we're still learning what goes good in the boxes, you know, what's maybe something that's not so good. But so far it seems to be going good. And, 3 of the boxes come and get food from our facility. And then 3 boxes, they go to the Bread of Life food pantry. So it's our collaboration together, really. So,
okay. And that makes a lot of sense to join forces. So let's go back to this big issue of food cost. I mean, we all know every time we pay for something or want to buy something, we're in sticker shock.
Yeah.
It's everything just suddenly seems to be even more expensive than it was last week.
Yeah.
Is that having, that must be having an impact on you as an organization and what you can deliver. But also, does that mean that you see a difference in your, maybe your clientele?
I think that we're getting more usage because of the price of food just in general. But I don't know that, you know, food insecurity is such a...
That's such a nice way of putting it. I mean, basically, it's hard to make ends meet. Food insecurity doesn't necessarily, you know, describe the anxiety that goes with not being able to feed your family.
Well, and so many people maybe think it's just somebody who's not working and is lazy, but I always say, you know, we have single moms who have multiple jobs who can't afford to live here. We have a housing crisis in our own community where we need CNAs, nurses, we need people who can come in and take care of you know, like there's just so much happening. And so the only thing I feel like we can do is start focusing like on our community and making sure nobody in our community is hungry. And if they are, that they know their resources. They know the food pantry. They know that we exist. They know where they can find food if they need it. And that coming back around to us is like, it makes me more motivated to look for more grants to make sure that our whole foundation can keep going and feeding people, because I don't know when the prices are going to go down or if they are for a long time. So then you think of a small, you know, nonprofit organization that's based off of donations from the community and finding grants, and we're going to have to start looking, you know, like just to keep up with the cost of how much food is now.
So I remember when we spoke last, you thought you were probably serving about 135 different families through the student take-home
the weekend bags
and so on. Do you think it's much the same this year, maybe slightly higher? I know you're still waiting on some figures for your school counselors in this first week of school, but much the same?
I would guess the same, but probably a little bit higher, just because when I like to shop local as much as I can, but sometimes when we're getting into the food being this expensive, I have to look at like big box stores, Costco, something like that, just to get the quantity that I need, but also, you know, you really have to start, you know, penny and diamond things of like to make sure I'm going to have enough to make sure all of our pantries are covered, the school pantries are covered, the mini, you know, it adds up quickly.
So if you were to think that we have, you know, I don't know roughly how many children we have in our community, but, you know, 140 bags home of just school-aged kids is probably a fairly significant percentage. I mean, it's not maybe 10%, but it's going to be, you know, right around there, presumably, if you estimate somewhere between 80 and 100 per grade. Certainly at schools in Buffalo, obviously you've got a smaller KC school and so on, and then there's a whole bunch of homeschooled and other individuals. But that's quite a significant number.
Yeah.
Of our population who are actually taking advantage of this and presumably becoming more reliant and dependent upon it. So this increased price in food not only impacts the people who you are trying to serve because they struggle with, as we've described, food insecurity or just not having enough money to go around, but it also impacts your budget. How are you making ends meet for yourselves?
Well, we did our second annual 0.5K, which was our fundraiser in the very beginning of June, and it went really good. We're hoping like the more years it goes on, like the bigger it will get. And then we were really grateful to get a grant from the Rocky Mountain Power Foundation and the Basin Electric Company. Last year, we were sending home a bread product once a month with the bags, usually like bagels or something. And it was really in my heart to be able to do that twice a month. And so I started doing grant research, and the Rocky Mountain Power Foundation and Basin Electric funded my bread project. So now I'm going to be able to send home tortillas and a bagel or English muffin, you know, bi-weekly, which that just makes my heart happy because I know, like, that's just one more really consistent thing that's going to be easy for the kids.
So stability and stability of financing and so on is obviously really important to your program. Mm-hmm. You can't live literally hand to mouth.
Right.
And so on. So you look for donations. I know you look for volunteers too.
Yes.
But you look for donations and you're constantly looking for grants.
Mm-hmm. And really without grants, like if we just had to try to live off of our donations, there's just no way. You know, without our grants, we really wouldn't be able to do what we do.
And so that leads us very nicely to a grant which brought you a
food van.
Okay, so tell us about that. And I know it's not yet up and running. And it's not quite on the road because you want to kit it out. But what's it going to do? What's the vision?
So Heather Haas, who was the board president, this was kind of her whole baby that she got Friends Feeding Friends kind of started. And she always felt we don't have a great way of reaching kids in the summertime, especially. And so she always had it in her heart to have like a food truck where we could, you know, park at different areas in the summer and the kids could come and get a free like bag lunch. So we're not doing any cooking. It's not hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff. It's turkey sandwiches, you know, fresh fruit. We try to keep like things as healthy as possible because if you go to the grocery store, you'll notice the most expensive thing is usually the healthy food, sadly, mm-hmm. you know. So we're really trying to focus on the healthy food and being able to reach kids in that way, plus utilize it, you know, as a form of advertisement for Friends Feeding Friends. I'll use it to go pick up our bread order, our fruit order. So it'll be driving around town, you know, and be seen And we're really lucky to be working with Travis Lawrence of Heavy's LLC. He's the one that's turning it into what we want. And so it was really interesting. We were looking at companies in, I think it was Nevada, Michigan. Like, they were, like, all over. And I was like, wow, that's a really long way. So we were really grateful to find him local. So we've been able to get lots of pictures of the process of it becoming what we want. Because we didn't need all of the bells and whistles, and food trucks are very expensive. I had no idea till I started on this project. I was like, oh my goodness. So the fact that we're getting almost exactly what we need, we're not going to have a bunch of stuff that we don't, and it's just about the perfect size. I've already talked with the library for next summer, and I'll be parked out here after reading time, so the kids, you know, will have access. And then we're planning on going to the train side of the pool. I've talked with the city about that as another place. And so we're starting up 2 days a week next summer. And as soon as the van is done, and we're literally just like maybe weeks away, we're going to have a volunteer appreciation party with our van. And all the companies and the groups that volunteer, that we want to feed them and give back a thank you in that way, and let people see the van and share that with the Hughes Foundation, because
the Hughes Foundation made the donation.
And they've also helped us with a protein project, because kids love meat sticks. Like, I could take meat sticks, and the counselors have to hide them behind their desk and then like dole them out slowly, because they just. And so that is really costly to purchase those, even from Costco. I think the last was like $800 for the last order that will maybe last a month. So it's pricey. So they gave us some money for that too. But Jenny Gordon, Lady Gordon, just started a Beef for Backpacks program. And they donated a full beef to Johnson County. So we're actually going to be getting meat sticks through them as well. So that's going to enable me to give more meat sticks to our pantries, because those are mostly to go home in the bags.
And of course, our First Lady, is really putting a lot of effort behind the Wyoming Hunger Initiative.
Yes.
And that crosses a broad spectrum of different things. And I'll put a link up next to that great program, yes, too, because there are so many different things, you know, growing stuff at home.
And yes, and they've given us grant money, through their program as well. And she's just amazing what she's doing. And I'm really excited they're having a retreat in Gillette for all of kind of the food-based people in Wyoming. So I think it's in October. I'm really excited to go, and I'll get to meet, you know, all the people that run programs like ours. And then it's a really great way to learn how other places run their program, you know. And so I'm really excited to make those contacts too. It'll be awesome. So.
Fantastic. Well, Brian, thank you so much for spending some time bringing us up to speed with what is happening with Friends Feeding Friends, and what an important organization it is. And I can't imagine what your day-to-day life is like. It's one logistical nightmare after another, I should think. But thank you for everything you do, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely.
And maybe seeing some pictures of the van.
Yes, hopefully. I'll let you know when we have the volunteer party, and hopefully we can get a shout out that way. And we appreciate you like putting us on the air. Any way we can get our name out to people who want to volunteer or want to donate, or you know, want a bag, you know, any way we can help. That's what we're
so.
Well,
I will make sure that a link to all of those is on posted next to this audio file. And thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.